Psalm 78 tonight is going to be where we find our text, and we are in our series on the marks of manliness, and tonight I have titled the message, Manly Leadership, but in essence, it could be titled Manly Integrity, because there is really no good leadership apart from leadership with integrity. And that is vital to understand. Now, this psalm is 72 verses long, and this is not going to be an exposition of the entire psalm. And we have this evening just a few minutes to open up God's word and to jump in. But this psalm deals with God's wrath against disobedience, even amongst his own people, and yet also reveals his grace and his mercy in still providing for the children of Israel. And he provides for them in significant ways, including in how he is going to deliver them time and time again. And we find from this passage of scripture, specifically with regards to David, who is in the line of Judah, from whom the Lord Jesus Christ would come, who would sit eternally, if you will, upon the throne of David and would be the greatest leader of the people of Israel, the greatest leader of the children of Jacob's people that there ever would be earthly-wise until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to read just the last three verses tonight and bring out some truth with regards to the life of David and the leadership of David, the king of Israel. It says, "And he chose David also his servant and took him from the sheepfolds, from following the ewes, great with young, he brought him to feed Jacob, his people, and Israel, his inheritance. So he fed them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands." And tonight I want to use this text and to bring out some truth with regards to manly leadership or manly integrity and how it is applied in leadership. But we're not going to be, again, like I said, looking at the entire context of what David is coming as the fulfillment of. But I want to draw these truths because I think there are powerful lessons to be learned. Father, I pray that you'd bless tonight the reading of your word, and I pray that you'd help me as I teach tonight, as I instruct in this evening equipping service, that it would be a fruitful time and that there would be truth that we could take home and apply to our life, and that you would help the men of this congregation to rise up to be men who bear the marks of manliness in the midst of a generation that is confused with even the topic of gender. May we be as your people, not confused. May we be as your people, not only not confused, but may we be desirous of taking the mantle of biblical, godly manliness as the men of our congregation, both young and old, and may we desire to bear the marks of manliness. May you be with the women of our congregation. May they be women who desire to truly be revolutionary in the culture that we live in by following a biblical example, a biblical pattern of the essence of femininity, and that they would have a heart to be faithful servants of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as well. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. In this passage before us tonight, there are some really clear, succinct truths that I want to hopefully give to you in a way that you can remember them and that you can apply them in your life as men. And as every message, and as I've said this every time, there are things that are going to be applicable to women as well, integrity being one of those main things. But specifically with regards to how God has called men to lead it is vital that we recognize that the calling of a leader for men is important, that we have a high level of integrity in that role of leadership. The Bible says that the head of the man is God, and in marriage, the head of the woman is the man. There is, of necessity, a role of leadership. In the church, God has called men to lead in the congregation, serving as elders. This is not about worth or value. This is about complementary roles in the relationships that we have between men and women. And obviously, there are roles of women fulfilling in leadership in life as believers, but there is a definite need for men in many different circumstances to be leaders. It is a mark of manliness, if you will, to have integrity. Now, manliness is something that we have defined many times over in this messages on the marks of manliness, but I want to give you just again the definition. It comes from the word virtus or virtuitus. This has to do with virtue, which is where character or integrity really has application in relationship to what the marks of manliness are. It is defined as courage or and bravery, strength and power. And the third is worth, virtue, character, and excellence. We are called to be men who are not only courageous and brave and strong and use our power on behalf of others, but that there would be a kind of virtuous leadership that would be the hallmark of our lives, that it would be the way in which we use our manliness on behalf of others, not for our own gain, not to take advantage of anyone else, but to be the kind of men who like Proverbs 31, King Lemuel was taught to open our mouths for those who have no voice, to stand in the gap for people in need, to be the kind of leader that is a leader of integrity. Integrity, and we find in Scripture, if you look at the root of that, at least the usage from the Hebrew, it has a kind of a defining word could be blameless. Someone who is a man of integrity is someone who is blameless. By the way, in the New Testament, we'll see in just a minute, that is one of the qualifications for those serving as ministers, as pastors, as elders. They are called to be blameless. It doesn't mean perfect or without flaws. It means to be somebody who strives for moral integrity. If you just pull up your dictionary on your computer, you'll find this definition. Integrity, the quality of being honest and having strong moral principles. Moral uprightness. He is known to be a man of integrity. And I want to pause right there and just tell you that it's important to understand, though that is a definition from the dictionary, to say moral principles or moral uprightness, there has to be a standard of morality or a standard from which that morality comes from. Right? It does not just come out of the air. And so when we talk about the marks of manliness from a biblical perspective, and when we apply that, the strong moral principles that we are to be seeking to fulfill in our lives as men are biblical principles, are biblical morality in the midst of a wicked and perverse generation. We want to be known as men of integrity in this day. Now, being men of integrity doesn't mean that we're men who stand, you know, for the truth in a mean, nasty, unkind, uncharitable, unloving way, because that would be unbiblical. You understand how all of those things kind of fit together? We need to be not just against something, but we need to be for the truth. We need to be for that which is right in the way in which we lead. The word integrity, you think about a dictionary definition of the word integrity, you think about the integrity of a structure. Right? This building it has integrity. It's structural integrity. That means it has soundness, right? If you've ever been into a rickety kind of old house or someplace where you felt like the floors were going to fall through, it was lacking in structural integrity. right? It gives you this picture of a soundness of structure. And that's the kind of men we need to be in our leadership. We're not to be wishy-washy. We're not to be like Gumby. We're to have some soundness to us in the way in which we lead with moral integrity. Now, it doesn't mean that we, you know, never have to contemplate a decision, but especially in times of need, there is an important, it's important to lead with a kind of perspicuity or a clarity. There is an importance to lead with a kind of resoluteness where you're not wondering, Now, when it comes to ordering my lunch at the restaurant, I might be like, oh, do I want that or that? And that's true at times. They put all those things on the menu. That's why I like In-N-Out Burger. I'll have the burger. But when it comes time to exercise leadership in times of need to respond, we need to be not double-minded. We need to not be wishy-washy. We need to be sound in what we are seeking to do. We need to have the kind of, if you want to put it this way, in the sense of a structural integrity, as a leader, we need to have the kind of structural soundness or integrity that we know. We may make mistakes, we may make missteps, but we're willing to make those things right, but there's enough soundness in, if you will, in a pattern of leadership that it can be followed. This is true for husbands, for dads, right? There needs to be a sense of consistency that what they say and what they expect is something they're going to follow through on. We need to be men of integrity. Integrity, honesty, rectitude, honor, good character, all those things. We could use the word ethics. All have to do with integrity. Righteousness, fairness, sincerity, truthfulness. All these are from the thesaurus on words that we could look to as for integrity. The opposite of which is dishonesty, lacking integrity, untrustworthy, unrighteous, not moral, not virtuous. It's not a good thing. This is not what God has called us to. We are called to be men who bear the marks of manliness and manly leadership or manly integrity. And that is something we find in the life of David. Now, I know there is this thing in the Bible that reveals David's sin. His sin with Bathsheba. And there are those people who have a hard time ever looking at David and thinking of his leadership as a good example or the integrity of his leadership as a good example because they see this glaring flaw of his adultery with Bathsheba. And I want to take nothing away from that that reality, that sinful failure in his life. But it is in the totality of his life. In fact, the book of Acts records that David was called a man after God's own heart. He repented after he was confronted by by Nathan the prophet, and he went out and wept bitterly, and he made things right as much as he could, and he faced the consequences of a sinful action in the demise of so much of his family and his leadership because he lost his integrity at that moment. And it was something that was not ever completely regained as far as the fallout or the consequences for his sin is concerned. At the same time, we find the whole story of David also reveals that for much of his life and his service as a king, he was a king who led with great integrity. From the time of his youth, when he was chosen to be the next king, he was chosen essentially because of his integrity of heart. Not because of the height of his stature, not because he was a great, mighty warrior in battle, but because God had chosen him. So there's four things that I want to look at tonight with regards to the leadership of David and how we can be manly leaders in following his example. First of all, that we are called to lead from a place of service. We are called to lead from a place of service. Secondly, that we need to be faithful in small and great things alike. We need to be faithful in small and great things alike. That we need, number three, to have integrity of heart in all that we do. And fourthly, that we would have skillful hands to fulfill that which God has called us to. That we would put that preparation into action. First of all, as men, God wants us to grow in our leadership. He wants us to grow in the way in which he uses us, but it begins where you're at right now. We are called to lead from a place of present service. Verse number 70 of our text says, he chose David. I know there's a greater context here. This is a major work of God, and that he's not going to use the line and lineage of Joseph or Ephraim or anyone else. He's going to use the line and lineage of Judah. And from that, he's going to choose out one named David who would be a servant, his servant, and to shepherd, if you will, that's the context that's given here, to shepherd the people of Israel. Similar kind of pastoral language used in the New Testament. Obviously, he calls his people his sheep. And he calls pastors to be shepherds of the flock. This is not a message about pastoral ministry, although it's applicable to that in every regard. But where God wants us to be as men is leading with integrity in whatever he is calling us to do right now. God chose David to be the future leader of his people, not because he had already accomplished great feats, but because of his beautiful countenance, which was more than just that he was a good-looking little boy. It had to do with the singleness of his eye, the focus of his heart, and because of his faithfulness in serving his father as a shepherd of the sheep. I know this, and having several young adult sons that have dreams for the future, I have this responsibility to continue encouraging them, and I would say beating it into their heads, but that sounds too strong, but encouraging them very strongly that what you're doing right now counts. What you're doing right now that seems less significant matters for the future. Like they say, I want to do this down the road. And that, and almost like it's nothing is important or nothing matters until I get to achieve that dream that's out there. That's not how God works with his people. God works with his people by using us right now where we are at, tending to the sheep. Some of us get stuck tending to the sheep. That was meant to be funny, all right? Some of us love tending the sheep. Amen. Right? But here in this role, you think David's brothers were all doing the more important tasks of the family, and David was out there at the sheepfold. And that is where God called him to serve him in a more significant way. It was not from a place of significance that God chose him. It was from a place of service that God chose him. You want to be a faithful man? You want to be a great leader one day for your family? You want to be a great leader for the future wife that God may give you? You want to be a great leader for your future children that hopefully the Lord may give you, or for the future career that you desire to have? Or maybe you want to lead people in some way. Maybe you want to be a pastor someday, or maybe you want to serve in some political venue in some fashion, or you want to be in the military and you want to be a great leader in the military and command a vessel someday as a captain. Maybe you have these great aspirations and goals, and they may be good and they may be noble, but you don't just start out at the helm as the captain of the ship. You don't even start out as a helmsman on the ship. right? You start out swabbing the decks. And yet that's where God is preparing you for what he has in the future. David was chosen as his servant. He took him from the sheepfolds, from following the ewes, great with young, he brought him to feed Jacob, his people, and Israel, his servant. This is found in 1 Samuel chapter 16. 1 Samuel chapter 16, the familiar story to likely to most of you when it regarding the choosing of David to be the next king. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, Samuel was given the task to go and anoint the new king while Saul was presently on the throne, and he was consorting with witches and all kinds of demonic things, and God was not going to have it any longer, and he chose to anoint David to be the king. It says, and it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab. This is in the household of Jesse. Right? He looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. Then Jesse made Shema to pass by. And he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. And again, Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord hath not chosen these. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in, and now he was ruddy, with all of a beautiful countenance, and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. And Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. And the next verse said, the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. David was chosen from a place of service. And I want to encourage you, even to the young men, David was not married. He didn't have children at this time. He was not fully engaged as a family man. He was a ruddy youth. But he had a beautiful countenance. He had a heart to please his father and to be in obedience to his earthly father. And he had a heart to please his God. He learned how to play skillfully musical instruments. He learned how to work hard with his hands, working with the sheep. He learned many things that God would use in the future. And he learned how to be brave out in those fields as a leader, being willing to lay his life down even for the sheep, slaying the lion and the bear, preparing him for his future. Can I encourage you? 1 Corinthians tells us, either 1 or 2 Corinthians, can't think of the exact reference right now, talks about the men and the women in their singleness. This is the time you have opportunity to use in serving the Lord. Don't fritter your life away on nothingness. You have been called to serve. So use your gifts, sharpen your skills, and give your life to serving Jesus today. And then be found faithful in things small and great. I've already kind of, these two kind of go hand in hand. David is found faithful as a young man, which propels him in the realm of leadership. But his promotion was not on the basis of the fact he was looking for one. He was just found faithful doing what he was called to do. This is something that I know that this maybe kind of goes against, and we have this, we live in this certain culture, and there is a system that we have to go through. But you know what? We find a new job, a new opportunity, and we think this is the best thing since sliced bread, and you really see yourself with the future here, and things are going great, and then And then it turns into a job, and you're looking for the next place that you could, that people can really respect you for your giftings. Instead of being found faithful, working really hard, and allowing God to provide the opportunities because people see your integrity of heart, people see the skillfulness of your hands, and they say, this is the kind of man or woman that we want to bring up in a place of position. That takes consistency. It takes hard work. It takes some contentment in the present. By the way, this is just a side note and something of a practical kind of benefit. Young people, don't go switching from job to job to job to job to job. You say, well, I want another job. I got 25 cents more, a dollar more an hour there. Just get a job and stick with it for at least a year. Work hard at it. Show yourself to have some consistency, some faithfulness, and allow yourself to learn some hard lessons there so that you don't have to keep repeating the process until you learn those lessons. Anyway, that's just a little bit of application for this message. But David, he didn't find his promotion on the basis of the fact he was looking for one, but on the basis of the fact that he was striving to be faithful. Guess what? To his father. And God knew he was there. Out in the fields, tending to the sheep. Being prepared. Zechariah the prophet says, despise not the day of small things, in Zechariah 4:10. Those times of tending the sheep. Those times of learning how to work hard. The young kids aren't here tonight, but if they were, I would remind them the importance of learning how to take out the trash and learning how to clean up the house and to be a participant in your family, because you're not there just for your parents to do stuff for you. You're there to learn character and integrity. David was found faithful in the fields, and that's what proved him for future leadership. I love the story of David and Goliath, and we don't have time to look at the entire story tonight, but we know in the account of David and Goliath that Jesse had sent his son David there to take some goods to his brothers, and when he was there, he saw this uncircumcised Philistine challenging the nation of Israel, challenging the people of God, and David said in so many words, did not God promise to deliver us? And his brothers didn't like it. They told him to go home. He says, I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. You just want to watch the war. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? And he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner. And the people answered again and after the former manner. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul. Is there not a cause? And he sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. He said, I'll do it. Remember, he's been anointed the king. That was in secret. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. You want to look at my resume? And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock, and I went out after him. And I killed him. I smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. And David said, moreover, the Lord hath delivered me out of the paw of the lion. He knew whom he was serving and who he was trusting in. And out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. He was found faithful in small things so that he could be used in greater things. Do not despise the small things that you may be engaged in today. Know that those are the ways in which God prepares us. And by the way, that is what God requires of us. Matthew's gospel in chapter 5, when it talks about the parables of the talents, he says, you be found faithful in a few things, I will make you ruler over what? Many things. Be found faithful right where you are, in that thing, whether it seems small or great, and don't give up. Ecclesiastes 9, very familiar verse, says it this way, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. As long as it's important, it's going to get me some credibility and people are going to see it. No, it says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. Because it matters to God, do it and do it well. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2 says, moreover, it is required in stewards or managers that a man be found faithful to do what you are given to do now. So first of all, people are called to lead, men are called to lead from a place of service. Men are called to be faithful in service, whether that seems small or great. And like David, men are called to serve as leaders with integrity of heart. Verse 71 of our text is, and following the ewe lambs, ewes great with young, he brought him to feed Jacob his people and Israel his inheritance. He's given this responsibility over the shepherding of the nation of Israel as a deliverer, as a picture of something that is yet to come through the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's given instructions, so it says, it records, so he fed them according to the integrity of his heart. The integrity of his heart. The moral integrity of the heart of David was what allowed him to be a faithful leader. He walked in integrity. He had moral authority. He had true, as we would talk about leadership, gravitas. It was true gravitas, not because he was fierce and angry, not because he was dictatorial in his leadership, but because he led from a place of genuine integrity, genuine moral authority. When we talk about great leaders throughout the history of the world, great leaders, the list of dictators don't make the list of great leaders. Because you can force people to do things is not leadership. In fact, that's not leadership at all. To lead means people follow, not because they have a gun to their head, but because they've been led by somebody with a heart of integrity, somebody with moral authority or moral compass. Psalm 25 says this, let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. Having this kind of integrity of heart, this uprightness, it comes from, in the Hebrew, the word tom or tome or tuma in its other form. And it means upright. It's translated integrity 11 times, upright twice, uprightly twice, uprightness twice, full, perfect, perfection, simplicity, completeness, fullness, innocence. This is the word and how it's translated throughout the scripture. And it has the idea of leading from a heart of blamelessness, a heart of moral purity, a heart of a desire to do what is right, to do what is good. And that is the kind of leadership that we need in our lives as men. You know, as a husband, I'm not going to be a perfect leader. I'm going to make mistakes, and I have. My wife could attest to that. But I want to have integrity of heart. I want to make things right when I've made them wrong. I want to get back on track. I may disappoint. I may discourage at times my children. I may let them down because I didn't lead them in a right fashion. But I want to rectify that because that's what integrity does. That's what having a heart of integrity does. It causes you to want to make things up, make things right so that you can move forward again in the right direction. We need to be men who have integrity of heart. If we don't tend to the heart, we cannot be the leaders God has called us to be. Integrity of heart is at the very core of our Christian faith, is it not? Proverbs 4 says it this way, Proverbs of Solomon, he says, keep thy heart with all diligence. The word keep there is talking about a gardener tending a garden. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Get the weeds out regularly. Continue to work on keeping your heart right, for out of it are the issues of life. That's why things like anger and bitterness and wrath are so destructive in your leadership of those whom you are called to lead, because there is not integrity of heart. There is not a keeping of your heart with all diligence. There's not a making things right. And we are called to have a burden to keep our hearts right, to repent. You want to be a leader who has integrity? Repent when you've done wrong. If it's public, make it public. That doesn't cause you to lose moral authority when you're honest about your failings or that you let people down. It should cause you to gain in moral authority. All of us, men and women both, are called to keep our hearts with all diligence, because out of it are the issues of life. We're called to prepare our hearts. Say, how do we keep our hearts? Repentance, prayer, confession, the Word of God. How do we prepare our hearts? The prophet Ezra said it this way. The book of Ezra says it this way about Ezra. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, to know the law of the Lord, and to do it, and to teach it, the statutes in Israel, and the judgments of the Word of God. We need to keep our hearts pure and clean, right with God, through repentance and confession of our sin and our failings, and making things right with those whom we lead when we fail them. And then we need to be focused on preparing our heart to fulfill what God has called us to fulfill, to be in the law of the Lord, and to seek to walk in it with an obedient heart, and then to teach it. And then another verse. These are beautiful, powerful verses, but as I was studying this passage of Scripture and talking about integrity of heart, how does that integrity of heart go from keeping our heart and preparing our heart? It has to go into the actions of our heart being put on display, if you will, being put to work. And Micah 6:8 came to my mind. He hath shown thee, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of thee, but to do justly, to do what is right. That's what men of integrity do. That's what women of integrity are called to do. To love mercy. To love mercy, which we talk about here in this case, to do what is just and what is merciful. All of this is born out of love. And then to walk humbly with thy God. You want to be a good and faithful leader? Do what is just. Be a person who seeks justice for others. Be one who is loving and merciful, and one who walks in humility. There's nothing more that There are few things I despise more than a haughty, arrogant, boastful, proud leader. It does not matter if you have the position of authority. Positional authority is one thing. You may have a position, and that may be a place of authority. But I, as a leader, as a husband, as a father, I don't just want to demand people do what I tell them to do because of my position. I want them to want to do it because of my integrity of heart, to follow the leadership that is given. So keep your heart, prepare your heart, and then act rightly in all that God calls us to fulfill. This requirement of integrity of heart is a New Testament requirement as well. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, reveals the requirements of the elders. This is really important when you think about the New Testament and you think about the example, for instance, of a Titus 2 woman. what is a Titus one, you know, what is a Titus man, if you will? What's the example for the men? The scripture is very clear that the example that's given for men to follow as a godly example is the qualifications found in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus chapter number 1. And one of those is that they would be blameless, or that they would be men of integrity of heart. 1 Timothy 4:12 says this, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation," or your conduct, "in charity," your love and action, "in spirit," in faith, in purity. This is talking about a man who is a leader with integrity. "Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine, to preparing your heart," if you will. "Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which is given thee by prophecy, by the laying on hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all." And then he says, "Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." That essentially you could say, watch your life and your doctrine. Keep your heart with all diligence. Seek to have integrity of heart in all that you do. And lastly, he had skillfulness of hands. And he guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. He tended the sheep skillfully. And I think this is really important. We as Christian men, I think, should desire to do all that we do to the glory of God. We should do all things decently and in order. That has that sense of the Greek word is taxis, like a military a platoon on march, that there is a preciseness, an orderliness to our leadership. There should be a skillfulness to the things that we are called to do. We shouldn't just desire one day to be a husband. If you're a single young man, you should desire to grow to become the kind of man that will be an excellent husband, that will be not just a dad, like to produce offspring, but to be a father who is a diligent father, who's engaging with his children, who is bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. There should be a desire to grow as skillful leaders. If that is to learn to play an instrument, to learn how to play it skillfully, you may not all be the most amazing player in the world, but you should be skillful as much as is possible, right? I'm thinking of David, who played skillfully on the harp, right? But he was also skillful in his leadership by taking care of the lion and the bear. You have to know he didn't just have courage. He had to learn how to do warfare, right, in some fashion. Later, he became the great warrior who slew Goliath. And he slew him with a slingshot and a stone, something he had learned out tending the sheep, but to do it skillfully. Men, you are called to lead, and you must do it faithfully, with the right heart, with the right motivation, and with excellence. Psalm 78 and verse 52 earlier in the passage says, "But he made his own people to go forth like sheep, and he guided them in the wilderness like a flock, and he led them on safely, so that they feared not, but the sea overwhelmed their enemies." Skillful leadership is something that is developed. Skillful meaning ability, mental faculty, understanding or capacity of leadership. You know, that doesn't just happen, but you have to work at it. And this is true for kings like Solomon or like David, who had to seek for wisdom and understanding. It says of Solomon, and God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. Because Solomon, when given opportunity, he asked not for riches and wealth, but he asked for wisdom. He asked for the skillfulness, if you will, the ability to lead the people he was going to lead. You say, well, I'm not going to ever be a king. I guess skillfulness is not important for me. You know, the book of Exodus records a whole long list of artisans who made things, and they made them skillfully with metal and made instruments and all kinds of things. Whatever you do, whatsoever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. Right? If you're learning the trade of being an electrician, do it well. Right? Otherwise, it could be deadly. Right? For you and for others. If you're learning how to do something in the military or do something as a dad, say, I want to be a good dad. Well, then get around other good dads and seek to learn from them so that you can do the work skillfully, whether you're a king or you're an artisan or whether you're a shepherd who is laboring among the sheep as a pastor who is called to labor faithfully in the word and doctrine. Or you're a husband, or you're a father, or whatever you do as a man who is called to be a leader, you should seek to pursue it with skillfulness of hands. Because God is worthy of you giving your best. And so are the people to whom you serve. Oh, but my work is not important. I'm only 16, and I make Subway sandwiches. And I happen to like Subway sandwiches. And I happen to like them when the people making them actually put skill into making them. I know, another food illustration. I can't. I've fallen into the trap again. I was trying to think of a public kind of job that a young person might do, and an older person, right? There's a way you can do it skillfully, both cheerfully and welcoming the customer, skillfully in that you wash your hands, put your gloves on, get the right bread out, have a good attitude when you're asked to, you know, put the vegetables on first before it goes in the oven, all those kinds of things that some people might ask, right? And to recognize you're there to do your best job. And it matters. It matters how we do everything we're called to do, how we're called to serve. You know what I believe? I believe when we take pride in the sense that we are called to have pride or excellence in what we do, skillfulness in what we do, when we take pride or skillfulness and pursue the things that we're doing now that may seem unimportant, that will translate into the things that we do later that are more important and that require even more skill to fulfill. But it begins in the present. It begins in the here and now. Manly leadership. Manly integrity. I pray that every man here will strive to be a man who bears the marks of manliness, in particular in this regard, that we would be manly leaders. And that we would recognize that God calls us from a place of service. Don't just sit around waiting for that big opportunity. It's always chapped my hide when I'm dealing with adult men who aren't working because they're just waiting for that opportunity to come around. No, get an opportunity of serving now in whatever capacity that is and do it well. Do it for a while. Be found faithful in small things. And God will allow you to use your gifts in bigger things. Have integrity of heart and skillfulness of hands. Whatsoever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might.